This is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. We got a fun episode today. Our guest coming up later in the show is legendary Memphis referee Jerry Calhoun. So stay tuned for that. Before we get there, make sure you follow me on social media. Best way to follow me is on X. I am at The Dave Dynasty. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheDaveDynasty. I just uploaded six new episodes of Bruiser Bedlam TV from the late 80s, so you're going to want to check that out. And probably one of the best ways to support this show is to go and buy one of our shirts. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Several styles to choose from there. You're sure to find one that you like. While you're out there supporting things that are cool and worthy, make sure you, once again, check out the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Channel, featuring the Savaldi Library and much more content on there. You can go to classicwrestling.net or download the app on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, iOS, and Android. No matter what device you want to watch, there is an app there for it. There's tons of great classic footage on there, including footage from the WWA, Detroit, ICW Global, USWA Dallas, and much, much more. There is more content being added all the time. It is well worth your monthly subscription fee. So go check them out and sign up today. Go to classicwrestling.net and check out that channel. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I will have that interview that I mentioned before with Jerry Calhoun. So stick around.
If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, and Screams.
And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by legendary Memphis referee Jerry Calhoun. Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me on your show, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jerry. Thank you for joining me. Let's talk. Obviously, you and Jerry Lawler have a long, long history together, and you've been friends for a long, long time. How did you two first meet?
Well, we went to school together. He graduated a year before I did. We went to Preble High School, and I knew of him in high school, but then we ended up marrying sisters back in the early 70s, and so once we married sisters, then we started getting together and hanging around, and then one thing led to another, so that's how we met. But yeah, I knew him since high school.
Yeah, did you two not really become friends and become close till after you guys were married to the sisters and when you both were in wrestling and things like that? Did that all happen during that time period?
Yeah. Yes. We became friends, and you know, then we started playing softball and football together. So, you know, we did that for years, and then we were just, once we divorced our first wife, and we divorced our sisters, and we remarried, and then our second wives, and Paula and my wife at the time, you know, we all did everything together, you know, so we just about, you know, every time we were together, it's all us. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jerry, he started in the wrestling, and then, and you guys started refereeing around 76. Did you get into it because of Jerry?
Yes. It was, before that, he lived in, in the early 70s, he lived in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And of course, I lived in Memphis. And so he would come in town on Friday night and we'd go to Tupelo. Then he'd go to Saturday, he'd go to Jonesboro, Arkansas. So I got to the point where at one point I just started, hey, you know, we hooked up and I started going out of town with him. So from that, he come to pick me up one Friday night, go to Tupelo, and he said, hey, what do you think about refereeing? I said, refereeing? Like, refereeing what? He said, wrestling. I said, man, I don't have experience. I don't know. He said, oh, come on. So, of course, I went with him to Tupelo, and he said, well, what match do you want me to referee? He said, main event. I said, main event? Boy, I'm starting at the top, you know. And the main event at that time was Jerry Lawler and Jim White with Sam Bass, the manager, against Tojo and Jerry Jarrett.
Yeah.
So I was just like running around with a chicken with its head cut off. I was just going back and forth, you know. And eventually, you know, that's how I got into it. And then as we went down, up and down the road together, then I was refereeing his wrestling, of course. So Then things took off, and then eventually I learned how to referee, if you want to say so. It's just in time training,
Yeah. And so the story goes that in you were fired briefly in 1977 because you let a baby face Paul Orndorff and a heel Mike Stark both ride with you in a car after a show. Is this story true?
Yes, I mean, there was me. When me and Lawler didn't ride together, I'd hook up. I mean, I'd ride with other wrestlers, especially like me and Robert Gibson, or me and Austin Idol, or me and at that time Paul, it was Mike Stark,
Yeah.
and he was humongous. So we went up and rode a lot together. So we were in Dyersburg, Tennessee, and it was Friday night, and Paul Orndorff needed to ride back, and I said, "Oh, because he's a baby face," I said, and of course Mike's a heel. I said, "Man, I don't know." He said, "Come on, nobody know it." I said, "All right." So I agreed to, baby face and heel, which you don't do that. And
Yeah.
so we're at evidently a red light, and somebody must have saw us. So I didn't know anything about it. So that Thursday night, we were in, where were we? I think Helena, Arkansas, I believe. And Lawler told me, he said, "You're fired, don't you?" I said, "Fired? No, I don't know that." He said, "Well, JJ fired you because you had, baby face and heel riding together." I said, "Oh no." So, nothing came of it. I still
Yeah.
continued to work. So that
So
was
you
it.
never did find out who stooged you out, huh?
No.
No. Well,
No. So I'm sure
lost.
some girls that were going to the matches come, maybe as a red light, like I said, and then they saw us together, and then word got back to JJ, and then they said, fire them both. Well, fire them all, really. All
Yeah.
three of them.
Well, like I said, you refereed in Memphis for a long time, and for many, many years, you refereed with Paul Morton, who's obviously the father
Yes,
of Ricky Morton. A lot of people,
that's right.
don't talk enough about Paul Morton, even though he's a legendary figure in wrestling. Tell us a little bit about what was Paul like.
Oh, Paul was real nice. I mean, we just cut up in the back in the dressing room, just kidding one another, and he'd go out and do his matches, and of course we would alternate on Monday nights and on Saturday TV. He'd come down for Saturday TV, and then we'd alternate. So eventually, he just quit coming on Saturday TV, for the long drive. So he just decided to go on Monday night. So then, at one point, I had the TV all to myself. So yeah, I like Paul. Unfortunately, he passed away years ago.
Yeah. So did they so any match where the ref had to take a bump, I'm assuming they assigned that to you, because I couldn't see Paul taking too many bumps.
Well, he did. He took some bumps, but
Oh, did
yeah,
he?
but I had, as you know, I had my fair share of bumps.
Well, we're gonna talk about a few of those. And
right.
yeah, man, well and I gotta, I know everybody's heard this story, but I feel like we at least gotta touch on it. It was in 1980. You obviously, you're one of the most infamous things you're known for is that inadvertently, obviously, we'll get that out. It's an accident. You broke Jerry Lawler's leg during a football game. So everybody's heard this story, right? Everybody, I mean, here it is, the top draw in Memphis. You guys are playing football. What was it like? What, first of all, when it happened, what went through your mind at that moment?
Well, let me set it up. As far as we would play football on Sundays. Now, tackle football, mind you. So,
Yeah.
we were just stupid back then, didn't think any more about it, So it was six of us, six on the side, six on one side, six on the other, and we were just waiting for more players to show up so we could start playing our game. And then Lawler did like a run in the round, running down the sidelines, and I was like a safety, so I was going toward him, and he happened to buy new cleats, excuse me, new cleats the day before, and so I did a body block on him, and to this day I don't know why I did that, because I never did a body block on anybody. And I just happened to do it at that time. But when I did, his foot stayed in the ground because he had new cleats, and then the leg gave way when I hit him, and so I broke both bones in his right leg. So, oh my God! So all the players down at the other end, and they heard it. Of course, I'm hard of hearing. I didn't hear anything. So then he had to unfortunately let Jarrett know about it, and Jarrett didn't talk to him for months. I mean, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6, however long it was, he wouldn't even talk to him.
Yeah.
And at that time, and so that was Jerry's whole income, his wrestling. So he was out the whole year with no income. So, I told him, I said, well, you know what? It might have been a bad at that time, but boy, when you come back, you made some money. He said, yeah.
Sure,
So, and that's what happened, you know. But you had that setup where Hart was going to, you know, bring wrestlers in to break his leg again. So that was the old gimmick that bring the top wrestlers in. You're going to break Jerry Lawler's leg.
Yeah. So and, you didn't have
it
any.
Was a,
so Jerry didn't, he didn't put any heat on you for the leg. He was just mad at Lawler for being in that position.
You know what? Jerry didn't say one word to me. Jerry,
there you
I
go.
Mean, he didn't, he, I mean, he's of course talking to me afterwards, but they're never, like, why did you do it? Why did you do this? Nothing like that.
Well,
It was
yeah.
more like, Lawler, you're the top draw around this area and everywhere else, and then you decide to play this stupid football game. So he was really upset over that. So,
And you mentioned Jimmy Hart, right? Because, man, you talked about, right? We talked about Lawler being the big draw, but, man, if anybody picked up the slack during that time, it was Jimmy Hart, right? He you know, he put Memphis on his shoulders. He overperformed, right? Did great things. And obviously
I can't say enough good things about Jimmy. I mean, we would on Friday nights we'd go to Tupelo, me and Lawler, and when we come back, we'd stop off at Days Inn, and that's where he had his Gentry's group where they would be playing. And so we'd listen to him, and then we do that, you know, not every Friday night, but we would do that. And then eventually Lawler talked to him and got him in the business to arrest to manage him. So, of course, you know, that took off. And then, and I'll say this, Jimmy saved the business when Lawler was out that year because, you know, he was just getting heat right. And I mean, the fans hated him. And and we were glad because he was drawing, you know, because he would, you know, he was just a top speaker in his presentations or whatever he did. You know, he was just managing right and left. And of course, we'd go back and forth in the ring between me and it was joy. As a matter of fact, when he started, we were all three riding up and down the road together, me, him, and Lawler. So, of course, that stopped once I broke his leg.
Well, I mean, like now, even at Jimmy's age, right? He's just all go, right? He's just all this energy, everything else. What was he?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at that time, he's a 20 something. What was he like at that time, man? He must have just been bouncing off of walls.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Jerry said, I can't figure out how he's so hyper like that, but he wasn't. And I had the good thing. Jimmy's personality just fit his management style.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And like we said, you know, he kept Memphis going. And then obviously, not only that, but set up, like you said, when Lawler came back, right? There was money, right? There was money there for the return, had the natural heel. You could just trade in, you know, Hart's guys, one right after another, just draw. And but in 81, go ahead.
I'm sorry. That's when he first come back. He wrestled the Dream Machine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The first night back, and that's when he come out of from the stage up, you know, like a Kiss concert.
Yeah,
that's where he got it from, you know. So he'd come out from the stage and there was smoke. And so I said, oh my gosh, what an entrance. I told him that in the ring. I said, are you kidding me? So
yeah, and part of that, right, not long after the comeback, part of it, you became pretty involved, right? Because you took a pile driver from Hart's Nightmares, and that led to you managing Jerry Lawler for a few weeks. So how did that come up? Was it just trying to mix things up, you know, do some different stuff? You know, obviously he's feuding with Hart's family, but trying to spice it up a little bit, get you involved a little bit and do
that
something different.
It, you know, that was Lawler's idea. And I said, you sure? And he said, yeah. So yeah, we worked that old angle on TV when I got pile drive and got into, of course, before that me and Hart, and then after that me and Hart, and then finally a match. And it was me. I don't remember who Hart partner was at that time, but I know me and Dundee, I think it was me and Dundee. And later on, I was also in a wrestling match, and another Lawler's idea. I said, you're doing it again? So I had, I think it was Dundee again, and we was wrestling. I don't remember who his partner was, but right now it's Undertaker. So back then it was Master of Pain.
Yeah.
So I said, that wasn't much of a match. And I was just a punching bag for him.
Yeah. So was there ever any talk of you transitioning over, doing more managing, doing more wrestling? I mean, you look like you're pretty good shape. You're a pretty good sized guy. Was there ever floated the idea for you to do more of that?
Pretty sized guy. I don't know what you mean by pretty sized guy.
Well, no. I meant, like, you know, height wise, you know, you compared to some of the, you know, I mean, I don't want to throw Bill Dundee under the desk, but I guess anybody looks talkative to Bill Dundee. But I don't know. I mean, what you got in there, did a few things. I mean, was there any ever any talk of you working some more matches and
No,
doing
no.
things like that?
No, you know, because I couldn't do that. I mean, I couldn't. Fortunately, Jerry Jarrett would let me referee around this area, you know, on Monday nights and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night spot shows around here. But I couldn't go to Louisville on Tuesday night and Evansville on Wednesday night because at that time I was still working at FedEx. So it's hard for me to do that, you know, weekly like that.
Yeah, and then something else that you're pretty known for, right? You were, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but you were the official during the Jerry Lawler Andy Kaufman match, where Lawler, you know, did the pile drivers, you know, supposedly put a Kaufman in traction. One of the most talked about angles of ever in wrestling, mainstream attention, everything else. I'm assuming you knew at the finish. How much of everything did you know going to, right? Because Lawler and Kaufman, obviously, for years and years and years, kept up, right, that angle, right? They kept kayfabe on that angle. How much did you know going into that?
Oh, I knew just about all of it. I mean, matter of fact, before he first wrestled Andy Kaufman, before him and Lawler had their first match, they was over at my house the night before just rehearsing, you know, what they was going to do. And, you know, and basically, you know, Kaufman was not really a match for Lawler, of course. So what the idea was that just Kaufman would act like that Lawler's a chicken, run around the ring, la, 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 la. And eventually he stops him and, you know, gives him a pile driver and then gives him another pile driver. So that was all, you know, planned as they went into the Monday night. But I'll tell you what, that was the most famous or most famous matches of Memphis history and putting Memphis on the map.
Yeah.
Was Lawler and Kaufman. I mean, you can say all the other ones who all Lawler Russell, all the top names, but and rightfully so, they were fantastic matches, but this is the one that was most famous.
Yeah, I mean, obviously got him on David Letterman, right? Everything got me. This was national attention. And but the thing is this, right? I mean, obviously, everybody can sing the praise of Jerry Lawler. Everybody knows how good he is. But how good was Andy Kaufman? Knowing how commit, I mean, the commitment, right? I mean, the guy loved wrestling, obviously, right? I mean, but to go to the hospital, to follow it through, to show this passion and this love, I mean, he didn't need it, right? He had an acting career. I mean, how remarkable is that?
Well, he always loved wrestling back when he was growing up in New York and, you know, Bruno Sammartino and others that, you know, he just loved wrestling.
Yeah.
The only way he got into it was, hey, I'm a champion of women, you know, he beats women, you know, so. And then the history on that, he asked Vince McMahon Sr. if he could come and do that for his area. And he said, no, I can't use you. Yeah. So then Dave Milligan, no, it wasn't Dave Milligan, who was it?
Bill Apter, wasn't it? Bill Apter made the introduction to
Yeah,
Lawler.
Bill Apter. Thank you. I forget my name. Yeah, Bill Apter said, well, you need to call Jerry Lawler. And everybody could use you. And so then it just took off. So. And then they had the matches, you know, working. He would wrestle women at the Coliseum and then eventually work where he would have the match with Lawler.
Yeah.
And then his interviews were absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
This world, like he was knocked Memphis and how, you know, dumb the pitch were all here. And, you know, you saw his interview.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably heard this. The story was on the, you know, the pile driver. Well, he was laying in the ring after the pile driver and wasn't getting up. So Lawler told me to go tell him to get up. So I went to tell him to get up and he said, no, I want an ambulance. I said, you want an ambulance? I went back to Lawler and I said, Lawler. And he said, no, I'm not paying for an ambulance. Went back to Andy. And he said, well, I pay for it. Went back to Lawler. Lawler said, well, he said he's going to pay for it. I said, okay. So that's the rest of history. You know, here comes the ambulance. And he must have. I think he might have stayed in the hospital at least 2 days.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, you know, you hear talks of you know Bill Watts, you know, sending telegrams or letters or whatever to him saying, hey, you know, thank you for sticking up for the bit. I mean, they worked everybody on this and
his parents, Lawler, Kaufman's parents were really hated Lawler. You know, I don't think Kaufman smartened him up or anything.
I doubt it. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I'm sure after thought, hey, yeah, call Memphis. They'll do about anything down there.
Yeah, right.
they try all kinds of stuff, but and then around
And then
'82.
they worked other angles after that, when just Lawler, that's when Lawler and Jimmy Hart teamed up, and then they turned on Lawler, and then Jimmy Hart and Kaufman wrestled. So they worked a lot of angles out of that,
I mean, yeah, and I heard,
made good
there,
money.
yeah, I mean, I'm sure, I think Kaufman probably would have just kept doing it. Obviously, he had, ended up having some health problems and different things and stuff. But I mean, like you said, obviously, I mean, he had a love of the business and love being a part.
Oh.
And obviously, I don't know, you always hear people talk about it, right? The it factor that guy's having. He got it, right? He understood it. And,
Oh yeah. And he protected it. I mean, he was very protective of the business.
yeah.
And rightfully so back then. I mean,
Yeah,
we
right.
protected the business to the nth degree. I mean, because right before you had the 60s and early 70s and 50s, you had the wrestlers back then. They certainly protected, so we wanted to follow them and say, yes, you protect the business with by all means. But
Well, and
thankfully, as a job that
Kaufman was doing
didn't.
the same things in Hollywood, though, right? He was the same approaches, right? With the way this his stand up and his different appearances were, he was doing things that would create heat and create friction, and then would leave you wondering whether it was serious or not, whether it was true, whether he was taking these same principles from wrestling and applying them to what he was doing with this comedy. I think, I think he just pulled a lot from wrestling, being a fan growing up,
Oh, I'm telling you. That
and look.
I guess that helped him being the Hollywood star when he come down here. He knew how to work it.
That's right. And around '82, you feuded with another manager, the young Jim Cornette. And
Jim Cornette,
so tell us about that. Was it the same kind of concept, right? The official dealing with the rule breaking heel, and finally you have to draw a line. And did you correct me if I'm wrong, but did you work some matches involving some of Cornette's people during this time too?
No, actually, I wrestled Cornette.
Oh yeah.
Me and
Okay.
Cornette wrestled, Well, I don't know if you want to call it wrestling. We'd be just rolling around the ring, and like choking one another or whatever. But yeah, I thank the world of Jimmy. Yeah, we had some good times, and especially when he's managing too. He's a like Hart. They're both class acts, as what they do on their managing styles.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, obviously, Jim had been around, for a few years, taking pictures, selling pictures, doing,
Yeah,
in his
he
mom.
took a lot of pictures of Kaufman. That can Kaufman a lot of matches, so you
There's
see him
that.
taking the pictures.
There's that infamous photo of Kaufman being carried out in the stretcher, and there's Cornette standing
That's
there
it.
with holding his camera. He's right there in the shot. So,
Yeah.
yeah. And like you said, you talked about earlier, you were still working a full-time job while refereeing. And
That's right.
appearing on TV, working some of these shows, did it ever bleed over into your normal life, your non-wrestling life? Did people ever say, "Hey, I saw you on TV." Hey, you're that guy from TV. Or did you ever get any of that in your non-wrestling life?
Oh yeah, yes, definitely.
Did it ever cause
All
any
the
issues?
time.
Ever cause any issues with
No,
you? No.
not at all.
Never,
Not at
never any
all.
overzealous fans that said, "Hey, you missed that call the other night."
Well, I mean, you're going. If you're talking about wrestling people, that's no. The type of people I knew or work with and stuff like that was a little different. But yeah, of course, the wrestling fans, they didn't like me, and certainly had my share of. Come from confrontations with some, not I started, they started.
And I have to ask you about something, and this is on a side note. I saw a picture of you with Lawler, and I think it was taken during football season, obviously, right? And Lawler obviously is decked out in the Cleveland Browns, and but you're decked out in the Indianapolis Colts stuff in this picture.
That's right.
I'm originally from Indiana. Are you a Colts fan?
Yes, I've been a coach fan since when I followed the coach, we called it Johnny Unitas
Back
back
in
in the day.
Baltimore, huh?
So from Johnny Unitas on to Burt Jones to eventually Peyton Manning. Oh my gosh, I lived and breathed Indianapolis coach or Baltimore coach before that.
That's
Then
funny.
his team was a Cleveland Brown, so we would always have our whenever they played the Browns, they're going to lose to the Colts. And of course, lately it's the other way around. I mean, the Colts lose to the Browns. But yeah,
I'll tell you.
we followed football a lot. I always followed football, but the coach has always been my team.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, that warms my Indiana heart, because especially before, during that period, post Baltimore, pre Manning, you didn't get a lot of fans outside of Indiana rooting for the Colts, you know, in those days. And so that's, I'm telling you, but it's hard going through some of those years. But man, I was a big, even in those years, I was a big Eric Dickerson fan and some of that stuff, back in those years. But
Are you, I assume you're a Colts fan too, right?
I am.
Or what?
I'm not a huge NFL fan. I'm like, I like football, but I'm not like this avid follower. But always been a Colts fan from when I was there. And grew up, like I said, when they, moved to Baltimore, that was a big deal, right? Disappearing in the night, coming to Indianapolis. That was, man, us in Indiana, we were celebrating. We had a pro football team, and yeah, it was a big deal. Especially, like I said, Peyton Manning years. Oh man, we were the talk of the town.
I'm a Tennessee ball fan, so
Well,
it
yeah.
was I was in Hall of Heaven when he went to the Colts, so
I bet, yeah. I guess that makes sense, right? Yeah, you, because you went, Peyton going straight from Tennessee to Indianapolis, that'd be like a dream for you.
Then I go see him when they was in Nashville when they play the Titans.
Yeah, the
So
Titans. Yeah, I was curious because I saw that picture. I was like, "Well, how the hell did Jerry Calhoun wind up an Indianapolis Colts fan?" That seemed. I was like, "Man, that seemed peculiar to me."
That I'm
There you
Johnny Unitas.
go. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it.
That's it.
So, tell us. Can you tell us? And I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit. Can you tell us kind of a humorous story or something that maybe you haven't shared before, or haven't shared often, or even if you have shared it, whatever comes to mind about something that happened during a match or in the locker room or at a show that will kind of make us chuckle.
Well, I might have. I don't know if I mentioned this before. I took a few, but one I can mention was reason me, Lawler, Phil Hickerson, Dennis Condrey, and Choco Ware. We was in Clarkdale, Mississippi one night. And that, and like I said, when we played football, well, right after I broke Lawler's leg, I tore my ACL playing football, trying to sidestep a guy that was going to tackle me, and my just leg gave out. So I kept referring. I just would wear a knee brace on it. So we were in Dyersburg, Tennessee. No, I'm sorry, Clarksdale, Tennessee that night. I'll get it right in a minute. Clarksdale, Mississippi. And so we were all down there, and I refereed the first match. And we all were on stage, but we had a curtain, that covered us where nobody could see. So during my refereeing of the matches, I was in the break, pulled my pants down to adjust my knee brace. Well, unfortunately, when I did that, I was facing my butt was facing toward the curtain.
Oh
Okay,
no.
so and I got my pants down and adjusted my knee brace, and then on one side was Lawler, and on the side was Phil Hickerson, and they opened up the curtain, and then I had my pants down and my adjusting my knee brace, and everybody looked at me, started laughing. I said, "Don't." So instead of like a dummy, I'm instead of going side to side, I'm going straight. So I said, so
God, well,
I got the people got a kick out of
yeah,
that one.
man, I've been to Clarksville, Mississippi. There's not much happening in
No,
that
no,
town
no.
either. I've been down. I'm a huge blues music fan, so I've been in a lot of those towns where blues is prominent. But yeah, there's not much. You probably had a pretty
No,
good turnout in that
that's
town because there's
probably.
not much else for entertainment.
No, there's nothing going
Yeah,
on
no. Well, like I said, you refereed for so many years. You had so many, obviously so many great names in wrestling. Was there ever anybody that you kind of got a little starstruck when you wrestled? I mean, you where you're like, ah, I can't believe that I'm refereeing a match of this guy. I mean, did anybody kind of, ever catch you that way?
Well, I don't, I guess after refereeing so many matches and Starstruck, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, maybe if you want to say I was. I mean, I was really impressed, I guess, with being able to referee him. And even going back to like the Nick Bockwinkel, Curt Hennig, Dusty Rhodes was there for a while, and with Lawler, Jesse Ventura. I mean, Randy Savage. Of course, Randy Savage came through here and then eventually went into WWF. And then Harley Race, Jack Briscoe. I mean, the top name back then. I was fortunate enough to referee him, and I looked at that and I said, "Man, I just in a way just being a part of their match that I would be able to referee." So I'm glad I got to referee the majority of the main events at that point.
You mentioned Randy Savage. That's obviously right. That the peculiar story of a rival promotion. This whatever you want to call them, right? This outlaw promotion that
Yes,
would obviously always putting down Memphis guys on TV trying to get some attention.
Exactly.
And they end up going out of business, right? And obviously, Savage is a huge talent. But then, you know, Jerry Jarrett having enough business mind, those guys to think, hey, you know what? Who cares if he put us down? There's money to be made here. When he first came in, was there any tension? Did people, like at first, were they kind of on the edge of the seat of, oh, what's this guy going to do after all these years of putting us down? And obviously, you know, there was talk of him confronting, you know, Dundee and different things like that. Was it a little tense when he first came in of not knowing what he would do?
I don't really think so, but I know, you know, he was really promoting his wrestling organization in Kentucky, and then that failed. And then, you know, like Jerry Jarrett and Lawler are the same boat. I mean, they put their mothers in a match so they could draw money. So, I mean, you're not going to turn down somebody that's going to bring you money. And certainly to some, they saw that in Randy Savage. And he came in and he drew him money. And then eventually, as you know, we went into WWF. But I don't know, it was really tension. It was just a matter of, you know, well, that didn't work and it failed. And he'd come back and hopefully land on his feet and work with Jerry Jarrett Promotion. So I didn't see that.
Yeah, you mentioned them putting their mothers back. I don't know about mothers, but obviously what Bill Dundee got his wife in there an awful lot. You're putting her hair on the line, different things to get some payoffs.
That's some of the top matches. I mean, you know, between them back and forth, you know, he had the heck of a stipulations with, like you said, Dundee's wife's hair at stake, a car at stake, one of them's hair at stake. I mean, whatever you could put at stake, they had that match and matches, you know, so. And they drew. I mean, they keep working and working until it finally reaches its end, and they, you know, stop and then start back a few years later and do it again.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously,
if you want to watch some fantastic matches, watch those two at it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest rivalries ever in Memphis, right? Dundee versus Lawler, because they did it all, right? Every stipulation, every match, you know, partners turning on each other, one heel, one baby. They went through everything over the years and drew for years and years and years and still, and you know, everybody talks, right? It's because there was a healthy competitiveness between these two, right? Of trying to be draws, right? Trying to be the stars of Memphis, and there ain't nothing wrong with that, right? Rivalry makes like what, right? Like Jerry Jarrett always said, right?
They both respected one another, and you know, they want to shine, and you know, I'm going to be on top, and another one say, no, I'm going to be on top.
Yeah.
So they had that little rivalry between the two.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, right, like you said, you know, healthy respect. I mean, I would even venture to guess, all said and done, a friendship between the two, right? Because you know, it's hard not to look back, and say, you know, for whatever comes and goes, man, we made a lot of money and did some good business, and two legends, right? I mean, two legends of the sport. And,
matter of fact, I saw him about a month or 2 months ago, I guess it was. He come to eat with us. We go out to eat on every Thursday with me, Lawler, Dave Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you have some dignitaries around the city with the joiners, like the mayor or the football coach of Memphis. And, you know, so at that time, Dundee come out and joined us and ate with us with him, Lawler, Dave Brown. So. And that's the first time. Well, since that wasn't the first time I've seen him in years. So I saw him when he had his birthday, you know, a few months prior to that. So.
Yeah. I mean, Dave Brand, another guy, right? Him and obviously, you know, everybody knows about Lance Russell, right? The voice of the voice of Memphis. I mean, added so much to that career. But Dave Brown, right, was the guy that everybody was watching give the weather every night on the news. And so he brought that, you know, brought some credibility, right? Some grounded some of it, right? You know, sometimes it's because Lance Russell's so iconic, you know, Dave Brown doesn't get, I don't think he gets sometimes enough attention for what he did for the program and what he brought to the table. And it's, I mean, man, Memphis always did the best with what they had and always knocked it out of the park. It's like they knew how to sell it to their audience and it worked. I mean, one of the longest running territories of all time. And
we're fortunate to have Dave and Lance together like that, and they worked off one another so well.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
I mean,
they did.
They were just great, and Dave will tell you, I've never had one bad word to say to Lance or vice versa. So we've got along great, and I told him, well, I can understand that because you two are both great. I would always tell him, you two are both great guys. You're so easy to get along with, and It was just a we was fortunate to have those two guys in the territory.
I mean, one could say, would I don't know if, would Memphis had succeeded quite as much and ran quite as long without those two? I mean, because it was, everybody, wrestlers came and went or whatever else, but there was always, Lance and Dave were the constants there, and it helped. Well, that and obviously Lawler were the constants.
We had a little period there where we didn't have Dancing Lady when
That's right.
Darius
That's right.
broke away from Nick Gulas.
That's
So
right. That's
we
right.
had different announcers and analysts. So fortunately,
Yeah, that all worked
Jerry
out.
was able to get Lance to come over full time, and then eventually got in from Channel 13. I mean, from Channel 13. So it just worked out great for us,
And you finished up, the majority of your refereeing around 90, correct? And there was a situation, right, that led to you and Jerry not speaking for a bit and everything else. Do you want to talk about that situation? I mean, I think it pertains to, some of the boys having some fun on the road, and you kind of had to be the fall guy for this. Is that true?
No,
No?
nothing. It's nothing. It's just an unfortunate incident where it was more, mainly my ex, wife, that there was a, little something that happened like that. And actually, I don't want to go into detail, but basically
No,
between
that's fine.
him and my ex,
That's fine.
it wasn't anything to do with me.
Yeah. But then obviously, right, though, everything worked out in the end, right? You and Jerry you're close now, right? You're all the time seeing each other. Like you said, you have dinner constantly and everything else.
Actually, yeah, we do. So, I see him, like I said, I see him at least once a week, and so we're always in communication with one another.
And obviously you're still, you still pop up here and there, some appearances, some events there around Memphis, especially anything, celebrating Memphis wrestling. You often see you there. Do you like getting out there, seeing the fans, remembering those days, talking to seeing the boys? I mean, is that something that you enjoy?
Oh, I do enjoy, I love it. But then the bad thing about it, I don't like traveling anymore. So
Yeah. I get
and of
that.
course, like I said, I didn't travel like the wrestlers did.
Yeah.
Like I said, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I didn't go to Louisville or Evansville or Lexington when they ran Lexington. But of course, anything around Memphis or radius, I would do that. But yeah, I certainly enjoy seeing the fans, but I just don't enjoy the traveling,
Yeah.
which I don't travel on any much anymore. Actually,
Yeah.
we're going to be in Evansville, Indiana, for Jerry Lawler, recognize Jerry Lawler, on May 10th and 11th. So plans to be there, including him and I think Ricky Morton, the Rock and Roll Express, Hardy Boys. I can't remember who all the on the lineup,
Yeah,
but
obviously.
it's like a meeting, like a, I won't say like a miniature Comic Con, but recognizing Jerry,
Well,
and his compensation. I mean,
obviously Evansville is a big, big Memphis town back in the day, right? One of their bigger towns, their regular
oh
stops.
yeah, every
And
Wednesday night.
for those outside of Memphis, you hear all the stories, right? I've been to Memphis several times, many times over the year, my entire life, right? And I've seen just touches of this, but I don't think people outside of Memphis, you hear a story, but I don't think you understand quite how big Jerry Lawler is in that town and was has always been in that town. Because there, I mean, there are time periods where it's like he was on, I don't even know how many commercials on TV. You drive through town to see him on billboard after billboard after billboard. I mean, the man ran for mayor at one point. He is absolutely a Memphis institution. And I mean, to me, I don't think people could quite grasp how iconic Jerry Lawler is in Memphis, Tennessee.
I mean, he's like I said, he'd ran for mayor. Unfortunately, he just missed it by a few votes, I would say. So, yeah, he's very iconic in Memphis. And now, around the world, once he
Well,
left the WWF and the WWE, I mean, everybody knows who Jerry Lawler is. So, it just took off. But, yeah, I mean, of course, here in Memphis, he's iconic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like I said, I'm originally from Indiana. I mean, Dick the Bruiser was, obviously the guy in Indiana. Everybody had a Dick the Bruiser story, right? He owned a bar in Indianapolis. He was everywhere. I still don't know that it's the level of what Jerry Lawler was in Memphis, because even the times I was there, he was on commercials, right? Had restaurants and bars and selling fireworks and it just on billboard. It was, man, it was unreal, surreal to see just see Jerry Lawler all over. But for how many, all those years, Memphis had no sports teams, right? There was nothing there, so it was wrestling was their sport. That was the town sport. And
Yeah, we that was good at the time because we owned the town, on Monday nights and Saturday TV. So we didn't have any competition. And then, of course, in the early 80s or mid 80s, and cable come into play, and so that just put a dent into it.
where I was at in Indiana, we got the Memphis TV out of the off the Louisville tape because I wasn't that far. I was only about 45 minutes from Louisville, so we could pick up the Louisville station. So I could get Memphis TV off the Louisville tapes. So I was familiar with all the way through all that time and stuff from watching that. So even up to
Awesome.
land up there. So yeah, it was we were seeing it. So. But so do you have a way that fans can follow you and keep up like for any appearances you do, or do you just kind of keep a low profile and go with the flow?
No, I don't. Like the thing, of course, I go with Jerry, and certainly with his recognition and something like that. But no, I mean, I don't travel anywhere anymore. So I did a couple of months ago. I went to Blavo for one time. So I just don't travel that much anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that. I don't like to leave home much either. I'm a
I
homebody.
can understand it back in when I was young and doing it all the time, but now I'm old, and then that's the last thing I want to do. And I'm a big football guy. I like to stay at home during football season and watch football, college and pros. So that's all I care about.
That's right. Well, sounds good to me. Well, Jerry, I appreciate you coming on. Like I said, I know you've done a lot of interviews, and I know these are some of these stories you probably get tired of telling over and over again, but it's fun to
Oh,
hear
no.
it.
Let me stop you there. I don't get tired at all. If anybody wants
Okay.
to talk to me about it, and I'll do it. But just keep Memphis alive and wrestling alive. Hey,
Absolutely.
I'm all for it.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like, when you talk to you, there's certain things, like the leg break. Yes, certain things that maybe somebody hadn't heard, right? You gotta talk about, mention it. But like I said, you've been a pleasure to talk to and very interesting. And maybe we'll revisit again down the road and dive a little deeper into something and talk again. But I do appreciate you giving me your time and coming on and letting me talk to you.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you having me on your podcast. And anytime, you got my number. So,
Yep, absolutely. Well,
anytime.
ladies and gentlemen, Wrestling Fans International Association is back. That's right, the premier fan club association of the 1970s and 1980s has been revived and is back in business. Join today. It's free at thewfia.org. That's thewfia.org. You can also join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/WFIA1969.
All right, and thank you to Jerry Calhoun for coming on and speaking with me. Hopefully we'll have him back on in the future to dive further into classic Memphis wrestling. Guys, before we get out of here, make sure you go join the WFIA. It is free. It is a fan organization, the Wrestling Fans International Association, that you will want to partake in. It features a bi-monthly newsletter, an upcoming virtual convention, and again, joining the group is free. Look up the WFIA on Facebook and join the group. And also make sure you go to the WFIA.org and sign up. Once again, make sure you support the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library, the channel that I mentioned earlier. Go to classicwrestling.net to sign up for that today. You will not regret that. Make sure you follow me on social media. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Make sure you give us a rating and review. Guys, thank you for all you do to support me, to support my content, to support my work. I share lots of good stuff on social media. I get lots of great interaction and shares. It truly means a lot to me. So thank you for everything you do, and thank you for listening today. We'll be back next week with another great episode and another fun interview. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.